Dave and Michelle, I'm sorry. I know y'all came here to hear good preaching, and now y'all got to hear me. Don't leave. Pastor's preaching next, right? Okay, good. Yeah, you'll hear good preaching. Aaron's been helping me out a little bit. Doctor told me I need to cut back to like 2 cups of coffee a day. He was generous enough to buy me a coffee cup to help me out with that, so y'all wish me luck. Smile. This is going to be a very odd subject, I think, because I'm in a class full of adults. I'm not teaching children. I mean,
we're all children.
Yeah, we're I mean, this is going to be odd. I mean, but don't worry, I'm not going to use any of these props in the teaching the kids. She had a look on her face just because, like, he's not back there with the knife with the kids. We got machetes with the kids. I'm more responsible than them. But my kids are kind of the reason why I'm going to talk about the subjects I'm going to talk about today. We're going to be in Proverbs 27:17. That's where we're going to start at. See, Paul, he started kindergarten, and he's very excited. He's going to make all of these friends. So, never had to really worry so much about him making friends because everybody he's been around, you know, he just goes to church. I mean, who's he going to be around that's, you know, bad? Brother Jameson, you know, kicking people in the shins, calling them stupid. But anyways, we have to teach him about friends, who to have as friends, how to be a good friend. This is really important to teach kids. And I kind of got to thinking, they learn a lot from us.
They do.
I mean, matter of fact, if he sees me walk into the garage, he automatically assumes Dad is working on something. Not that he's getting chicken feed or dog feed or, you know, getting something out of the deep freeze. And so he instantly comes running. He says, I want to help. I want to work. And I mean, so he's learned, Dad goes in the garage, Dad's working on something. As adults, we don't really throw in consideration, at least I've never really thrown in consideration much, how my kids view my friends. Because, I mean, they see the people that I talk to, they see the people I associate with. You know, I'm not saying my friends are terrible. 5 years ago, the answer to that, you know, my friends were. 5 years ago, I've been here 6 years now, haven't I? So before coming here, we'll just put it that way. My friends weren't good. So when my kids looked and they seemed like, okay, well, these are the people Dad hung out with, it wasn't good. I never really had good friends. I've always had a bad problem with picking horrible friends. And it's important who your friends are. I used to hate sitting in church and hear the preacher preach and say, you are who you run with. You are who you run with. If you run with this person long enough, you'll be that. When I was a kid, I absolutely hated that. Anybody else hate that, hearing that as a kid? Ah, well, two people in the same boat as me. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
The rest of us were those kids.
Yeah, we were the kids, though, that y'all weren't supposed to hang out with, okay?
That's true.
But it is so important because your friends shape your character. Right here in Proverbs 27:17, it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Honing. This is not sharpen the knife. Okay? All this does, takes the burrs off. This is what we're doing. I won't do it towards Mary. I caught myself. When we got a friend, all right, what we're doing, we're fine-tuning our character. Now, this knife is sharp. I have already cut myself with this knife this week. Now, everything that I know I'm holding a knife in front of y'all. Y'all really look terrified. This is my chef knife. This knife has a purpose. Okay? I use this knife all the time. I do not cut bone with this knife. I do not do stupid stuff with this knife. You're not going to see me sharpen a pencil, whittle. My father-in-law bought me this knife. This is my favorite knife. If this knife is dirty, I will wash this knife so that I can cut something. If I'm cutting herbs, this is the knife I use. If I'm cutting fish, anything. Every one of us is pretty much a knife. We have a purpose. God has a purpose for us. He has something that he wants us to do. And the sad thing is the people that we run around with, they can cause us not to be sharp and not to be used the way that God wants.
Yep.
We're not going to cut herbs with this. This is, here's a random piece of paper. I can do this because this is dull. Okay? God has a purpose for us. Every one of us. We have to be sharp. We have to be keep our testimony up. We have everything we do. Anybody ever heard of lateral drift? Miss D, she is. I knew. See, I looked that direction. I knew. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's your right leg you're walking. And since I'm right-handed, I'm going to drift towards the right. So when I'm navigating, when I'm doing pace count, whenever like us teaching Candace to read a topical map and to find certain destinations using a compass, I had to inform her about lateral drift. I said, she's left-handed. You're going to pull this way. You can if you don't pay attention, if you don't have a sighting, if you're not focused on something, you're going to pull to the left. That's why when me and Candace are walking somewhere, I try to have her, you know, if we're walking through the woods, she's right here. That way we keep bumping into each other. We keep going straight. We have to keep focused. Our focus in life ought to be on God. Our focus in life ought to be on serving God. And we ought to be walking with our friends in a way that we are keeping us from drifting away. We keep bouncing back and keeping each other in check. I've told y'all before I had a friend. One of my weaknesses is music. I love music. I mean, probably almost to a fault. I go bicycle riding. I've got one earbud in, and I know people absolutely hate that. It's on this ear, so I can still hear traffic. I listen to music. I have one Christian friend. He always sent me the latest rock song. From the latest group, from the group that I just absolutely, back in my crazier days, loved. And he'd invite me to the concerts. Okay? Even if they were out of state. Oh man, you gotta go to this concert. It's gonna be the best fight we ever get into. I kid you not. That is the direct words. Now see, this friend, he's not doing this. I'm not gonna run the blade like that because I don't want to mess my knife up. That's kind of why I brought my little knife. I don't care if it gets hurt. My friend, that's what he's doing. Pieces of this steel is getting shaved off. All it's doing, and if I did that on the blade, it's going to ruin the blade. Got another friend. He didn't know he was combating the first friend. He sent me the latest gospel music, latest gospel album. He's like, hey, you know, I know you kind of like rock. Listen to this song. And it was by Casting Crowns. It was Nobody. It's like, I like that. And then he's like, listen to this group. Oh, you kind of like jazz? Have you ever heard the Ball Brothers? Hey, here's some Christmas music. Here's some gospel music. Matter of fact, he invited me to a concert out of state, and I actually went to it. I didn't go to the one with the fight. And $75 to get into a fight, I can do that at home for free. Because see, the thing is we sharpen each other. The first friend, I know this seems like a lot of rambling, but this is important. The problem is the first friend, even though he's a good person, even though, you know, he does go to church, if he gets me back into listening to the rock music, okay, I stop focusing on God and I start listening to rock music, I start drifting.
Amen.
And it won't be long before the rock music leads to hanging out with other people, because, you know, rock music, there's kind of people that hang, you know, listen to it. Start hanging out with them, I'm going to start drinking again. And then, of course, I start drinking again, then I won't start coming to church because I'll be feeling bad because I'm drinking and feel like a hypocrite. And then before you know it, I'm gone. We have to be careful who our friends are.
Yep.
We have to be careful because our kids see this. Our kids notice this. And I'm not saying don't hang out with people who may be lost. You can be friends with people like that, but what you need to focus on is who's sharpening who.
Yep.
Are you drawing them to God or are they drawing you to the world?
Yep.
That is the biggest thing that we've got to focus on. I don't know. Y'all just giving me this look. Y'all, I don't know why we're talking about friends. It's crazy. Y'all smile every now and then. It's not going to kill y'all, I promise. Sorry, my iPad just slid down. Okay, there it is. When we pick a friend, we need to pick a friend that is wise, in my opinion.
Yes.
We don't need to pick foolish friends. Proverbs 13:20. And this is probably why nobody ever picks me as a friend, because, you know, I'm not really that wise. But Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." We have problems day to day. I have, and another reason why I'm kind of preaching on this is I have relied on my friends a lot here lately. Everything going on with my dad, him saying, no, I'm not going to do the treatments. The doctor says, well, if you don't do the treatments, cancer is coming back and you're going to die. Him being on the fence on the treatments. Everything with my job being up in the air. Like you said, they're not. Just all of a sudden one day, God hits a switch and everything in my life just falls apart. And I've been relying on my friends. I've been relying on Aaron, Chad,
Amen.
Jameson. These people that I've been relying on.
Amen.
I've been relying on Connor. Matter of fact, I even called him up one day. And I asked him a question. This may not be super spiritual. But since he is the law, I did ask him a question. And I'll give you all the answers y'all know. Y'all cannot request y'all's arresting officer. Finding that out did keep me from slapping somebody. So he did steer me closer to God on that. But when we go through trials and tribulations, we normally lean on our friends. We talk to our friends. We ask them for advice. And we need wise friends. We need friends who know the Bible, know God, or at least know somebody, have enough sense to say, you know, I don't have the answer, but let me ask my pastor or let me let you talk to him. And it says, but the companion of the fool shall be destroyed. This once again falls back into that. After a certain point of falling in with a crowd that's away from God, you get away from God and you will get destroyed.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to be in Proverbs a lot today. We'll kind of keep an eye on the time. All right. Proverbs 4 and verse 14. It says, "Enter not in the path of the wicked, and go not the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause someone to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light, and it shineth more and more unto a perfect day. But the way of the wicked is a darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Huh. You notice it sits there and it talks about, you know, they can't sleep unless they cause someone to fall. I mean, you got a wicked crowd, you got people that are, they're just bent on just self-destruction, being away from God. They can't sleep until they cause somebody to fall. Have you ever been around people? I know a person right now, and I'm praying for them, and I'd love to see them come to this church. I don't know what it's going to take. I'm going to send some of y'all down there to them. They've been struggling right now with alcohol. At one point this year, they made it 100 and something days sober. Anybody that's ever drank or quit an addiction, 100 and something days sober. That's amazing. They went on a vacation with some people that I kind of said you don't need to go with, but they did anyways. And then people pressured them. Now they're back to drinking. Them people couldn't sleep. They couldn't leave that person alone until that person started drinking and being back with them. And whenever I drank, by the way, whenever I was wild, when I was crazy, I had a million friends. Man, I had friends that'd be over, drop a hat, they'd this, that, and the other thing. Whenever I decided I was going to quit drinking, they dropped me. As a matter of fact, I haven't told one of them I'm not drinking because of a health problem because, you know, it could kill me. They didn't care. Oh, it ain't. You might as well live it up. You know, I don't speak to that person no more. I pray for them, but I don't speak to them. And that's what we have to tell our kids, and that's what I have to explain to Paul, even though he's a small kid, is the kids that are trying to point you to the direction of trouble, all they want to see is you fall. All they want to see is you get in trouble and live a life that's that way. And I know there's something I've got to teach a little five-year-old. There's something I have to constantly teach Rogue. There's something I have to constantly teach Candace. In the house, we have a chain of command. I know a lot of people's against that. In life, there is a chain of command.
Yep.
You have to do stuff. You have to obey. Everybody obeys everybody. I own a business. I am my own boss. People say, oh, you get to make your own hours. Oh, you can do whatever. I still have to answer to somebody. You still have to answer somebody, don't you, Jonathan? You have to answer your customer, even though you are your own boss. Yep. Everybody has to answer. But Candace, Rogue, Paul, I will tell them, I meet their friends. You don't need to hang out with that person.
Yep.
They're going to bring you down. They're going to cause you misery. And I just straight up tell them, look, I know this for a fact because I've been there, I've done that. Most of my friends didn't make it to the age of 25. Okay? Two of them died in war. The rest of them died of stupid decisions. And that's what I'm trying to keep my kids from doing. That's what I'm trying to keep myself from doing, is dying from a stupid decision. I explained to them, the only difference between us and an addict is one decision. I mean, people will see somebody strung out on meth and they'll look down on them and they'll say something bad and they won't want to try to reach them for the Lord. And I tell them, just one bad decision is the only thing, the only difference between y'all. You said no to meth, they said yes. I have to teach them how to make friends. I'm so worried I typed these wrong. I'm actually still going to turn to them. So y'all just bear with me. Proverbs 18:24. Why in the world am I there? Oh, there it is. That's one of them. A man that has friends must show himself what?
Friendly.
You want to make friends? Be friendly. I try to tell my kids, if you want to make friends, you want to have good friends, be the kind of friend to them that you want them to be to you.
It's hard to make friends. It kind of is for me. Take Connor, for instance. Want to be friends with him. Half the time, I have no idea what he's saying. I didn't know there was that much of a language gap. In 12 years, he'll send a text message. And the first time he sent the text message, I looked at it. I was like, I'm not going to respond. I don't know what that means. And I was so thankful, but my fellow old man, Chad, came up to me at church and said, what did that mean? I was like, oh, you didn't understand either? Praise God. Be friendly. If I'm starting to learn young people language. I did ask Candace. She said she didn't know that was what old guys speak. Connor's just stuck somewhere in the middle. Best way to make friends is to be friendly. And one of the best things about making friends is you take Brother Norm. Okay? He comes here. He's such a nice guy. You can't help when you see Norm walk through the door just to smile. I mean, it's contagious. Even I will smile, and that's you know. But you take somebody like him. He talked about filling a church. Filling the pews, not by going out and knocking doors, not by dragging people, but by making friends. He went out and he started making friends. I mean, imagine if we went out and we just started making friends with people and then got them to come to church.
Yep.
They seen that we were different. How many people we can get in here? One of the hard things I have to teach my kids when making friends is being honest. You have to be honest with your friends. Proverbs 27 in verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. See, we talk about sharpening, honing. When you see somebody starting to go the wrong direction, because, you know, if I run this way, it's going to ruin this blade. You start seeing that going the wrong direction. Need to tell them.
Yep.
I mean, don't just be like Jameson and tell them they're stupid and you want to kick them in the shin. Well, I take that back. Every now and then you do need to tell somebody that.
Amen.
You That's one thing I like about Aaron back there. Aaron and Chad both, we may be a little too honest sometimes. You know, y'all have heard me say 1,000 times, Aaron tells me I'm stupid and I can't read well. I mean, that we are that kind of blunt. But when you see a friend going down the wrong path, or if your friend sees you running down the wrong path and they tell you, hey, look, you're having these problems because you're doing something stupid, you're not following what God wants you to do, don't get mad at that friend. I mean, they love you enough that they're willing to call you out on something to help you, to guide you, to draw you closer to the Lord. It's going to make you mad. But you know what? You need to just kind of stop, bite your tongue, don't slap them, because you can't request your officer that's going to arrest you. But when somebody calls you out on something, the first thing that you need to do, and I know it's hard to do, is you need to examine, am I doing this? There have been times in my life where somebody has called me out on something. Sometimes they were true, sometimes they weren't, and I had to go to a good friend who I knew was going to be honest and tell me the truth and say, I've been called out on this situation. Have you seen me do anything to indicate there's any truth? And there's been times where they said, well, yeah, matter of fact, I was going to talk to you about that. And there's been times where they said, oh, no, 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 that ain't. Have to be honest. And you know what I'm thinking of, Miss Erica? About her saying, Aaron popped his head up and laughed. About, what was that, 6 years ago? 6 years ago, I tried to make pickles. And by the way, I have not made pickles since then. That is how tragic these pickles were. I enjoy cooking anything. I always wanted to make pickles. My pickles were so bad. The older people are going to get this. Y'all younger people, I'll just explain to y'all later. Aunt B's pickles were like amazing compared to these. These were awful. As a matter of fact, this was I just offered these to them just to see their reaction. Aaron told me they were the hideous thing he's ever put in his mouth. Spit them out, and, you know, I should have been, you know, arrested for them. Erica says she loved them. She went home with 12 jars of the worst pickles in your life. Now, I'm not saying she did anything wrong. It took Erica a long time to realize she can be honest with me. I'm not going to be mad at her. She still has some pickles these days and swears up and down she eats them. And that's the thing, is you can have friends, good, godly friends, and you can have fun with them.
Yep.
I mean, when we went to see the Ball Brothers, I mean, that was Aaron, Erica, and that was Megan and Jonathan. We didn't drink. We didn't do anything. Okay, me and Jonathan did drive over the speed limit, so I can't say we didn't do anything illegal. But we had a blast. When people come over the house and we cook and we eat, we have Chad come over, we go to a football game, we can have fun. And that's what I explained to my kids, is they see, whenever we're around our friends, they see how much fun we have. I mean, they do. And I tell them, I says, you don't have to drink. You don't have to do something bad to have a good time. A lot of times it evolves around food. But I try to stress to them, you know, be a good friend. Be friendly. Be willing to help. Everybody's nodding yes on being willing to help until somebody calls about a piano. Now, and honestly, you do need to have a kind of list of your friends where you know their strengths and weaknesses. There's some people you want to call to move a piano. There's some people you don't. If I'm going to move a piano, Dustin's not here. I'm going to call Dustin. He can pick up about as much as I can. If I have a problem with my computer, I'm going to call Aaron. Matter of fact, he hijacked my computer one night, and he fixed it. I still don't know how he did that to this day. He was at his house. I was at my house, but that's besides the point. But be a good friend. Go out and try to make friends. And that's the thing. It's like, here we are as a church. We're a church family. We ought to all be friends.
Yep.
Amen. We ought to, you know, it talks about in the New Testament, the church being, you know, united, breaking bread. That's the way we ought to be.
Yep.
And another thing, to be a good friend, if you're friends with somebody that's lost, you need to share the gospel with them. You need to bring them Jesus. You need to be like them four guys that brought the guy with palsy to Jesus. That had to be their friend because, I mean, once you're talking about, you know, replacing damages to a roof to get somebody to Jesus, I mean, you're not going to do that for a stranger. You're going to do that for a friend.
Yep.
And that's what we need to do. If they're lost, we need to lead them to the Lord. I had a friend, and I've told you all this before. We were friends for 5 years. Never led him to the Lord. He would have listened. I know, now looking back, I know he would have listened to me. He normally always listened to me when I gave him advice on anything. But we were friends for 5 years. I didn't know the day that I met him and we decided, hey, we're going to be friends, you know. I didn't know there was a little countdown over his head as to how long we were going to be friends. Leading up to the end of our friendship, I'd seen in the paper that he got into a motorcycle wreck and they found out he had lung cancer and how lucky he was that they found it at this point because it was curable. That was a month or two before our friendship ended. There was that little countdown I couldn't see. Headed to my grandma's house one day. Think my Uncle Johnny was down. And seen the awfulest mess of state troopers and Bonnard Police Department and sheriffs. And we had to drive through the grass in the car. The countdown for that friend ended less than a half a mile from my house when he decided to do something stupid and outrun a state trooper and fly down that road past four or five cars. The car that pulled out in front of him never seen him. When he hit her car, that was it. His bike flew over the car. I've got that constant reminder, and anybody that rides with me, you'll know. If you know what to look for, you'll notice every time I drive home, I pass the little cabin-looking house in Ball Knob, and we get to that first little road, I look over. That fence post is still there. It's still dented. So if you got a lost friend, one of the best things you can do is tell them about God.
Yep.
I'm just going to throw that out there because his death is what ended the friendship. If I would have known when I first met him that he had 5 years to live from that point, or if I would have known he had a month to live, I would have been a good friend like them guys taking their friend with the palsy to Jesus. I would have done anything and everything. I would have ran the truck through the door of the church if I had to, you know, had to do it and just pay for it. Do whatever it is. And that's the other thing I tried to instill in my kids is if you've got a friend and they don't know Jesus, talk to them. Give them the gospel. I mean, your friend already knows you go to church all the time. Your friend already knows that you're involved in church. I mean, if they think you're weird, that doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, I was worried what David was going to say. Now, I really could care less what he would have said. I wish I'd have done my job as a friend.
Yep.
So think about your friends. And the amazing thing is God uses friends in such weird ways. I've had moments where I was really depressed and then like Jonathan, he'd sent me a text message. Man, I'm just praying for you. Think about how you are to your friends. Think about the friends you got. Are they drawing you closer to God or are they drawing you away? If they're drawing you away, try to draw them closer to God.
Yep.
If you can't do that and they don't want to, you may have to cut ties. They may have to just be acquaintances. But be a good friend. Pay attention to the people around you. Be honest with them, but don't be like Jameson, just start kicking them. Sorry, that's one of the best things I've ever heard a preacher say. But the main thing I want to do is, you know, we are adults, every one of us in here. And, you know, I've never really thrown in consideration what my kids think about my friends. If they think that Dad's a hypocrite for saying I can't be friends with this person, but Dad's friends with that person. But just look at your friend list. And then look at yourself and say, how am I doing to them? Am I drawing them to God? And don't ever let somebody talk bad about your friends.
Yep.
They start that, shut it down quickly.
Yep.
I mean, somebody says something I don't like about my friends, as soon as they start, most of the time people won't do it because they think I'm probably going to slap them. But I know, I'm bad about slapping people, my bad. But anyways, stop it. Just instantly tell them, hey, that's my friend, I don't want to hear it. If you got something to say to them, we can call them or we can run to their house. It's not an issue. I'll take you. But end it.
Yeah.
Be a good, loyal friend. I mean, if that's what we're doing is we're constantly drawing each other and we're keeping each other on a path where everybody's drawing closer to God. If somebody's trying to do anything to break that friendship or to break your friend's testimony, stop it. Correct them. Tell them, no, you don't know this person. You don't understand. I mean, I've been accused of all things. Some of it was true, some of it wasn't. But you know, I've had good friends to be there for me and say, you know what? That's not true. He's not that way. I just figured I'd throw that out there. Y'all can take it for what it's worth. But to be a good friend, it says to be friendly. Take care of your friends. Take care of your church. I hope this was some kind of a blessing. It wasn't just insane rambling. Y'all kind of looking at me like, I know. This Aaron just has me to get up here to make y'all appreciate his preaching a little bit more. But Brother Jameson, will you dismiss us in prayer?